The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 8778-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
All right, welcome to another special edition of the Pride of Detroit PODcast. You can find us at prideofdetroit.com, at Pride of Detroit on Twitter, Pride of Detroit on Facebook. We say it every time. You know where to find us. We are your friends and your navigators through Lions football. I am Chris Perfett, your host, at Chris Perfett, P-E-R-F-E-T-T. Jeremy had to step away. He's usually in here, but he's currently busy handling all sorts of blog stuff that the Fearless Leader happens to handle. But joining me here is a very special guest. We don't get many guests here, but when we do, they are all very special to us because they help us make a better world for you, the Lions fan out there, to understand the universe that is the Detroit Lions. And this fan, and this guest here is someone I've met not long ago, I would say. However, he's quickly become someone I've greatly admired, especially with the way he runs his shows. He is a Vegas insider. You can catch him on Fox Sports Radio and any of their affiliates. 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific, straight out of Vegas, where he's bringing you, by his words, the Vegas truth and nothing but the Vegas truth. But that's also, he's not completely immune to Detroit. He has spent many years there. From 2003 to 2008, you would have caught him on Lions postgame on 97.1 FM. And he's also been around the ecosystem around Detroit. Bernie Frado is our guest. Hello, Bernie.
Hey, thanks for having me today, Chris.
So, as I said, you've been a bit of a veteran of the Detroit scene. And before we get into, we're going to talk a lot about, on this podcast, how Vegas looks at the Lions, probably to get a national experience, national outlook on the Lions. I know, in general, fans believe that it's down, and here at Pride of Detroit, we are very hyper-focused on the team, but I find Vegas to be a really good indicator of what is solid and mostly objective, although I know you have your opinions as well. But before we get into that, I just wanted to talk about your experience, because it's rare to get a guy like you from Detroit. You know, I know you and Rob Parker out here west, but you've both kind of came in that same time frame in Detroit. Just talk about your experience a little bit, like, because you've seen it all.
Well, as it pertains to the media, I signed on the air in the greater Detroit area at WTK in Ann Arbor in July of 94. Started out covering Michigan athletics and the Detroit Tigers, and that morphed into Detroit Lions football. And even before joining the flagship, in doing, as you mentioned, the pre and post 2003 to 2008 with Mark Wilson and Rob Parker, I also did the Lions postgame show in Ann Arbor down the line on WTKA for 5 years. I was joked that I saw it all. My first year affiliated with the organization was 98. That was Barry Sanders' last year. My last year was 2008, and that was Rod Marinelli's 0-16 season. Full disclosure, I was born in Michigan. My mother went to the University of Michigan. I ended up growing up in Southern California, but coincidentally relocated to Michigan in 94 for an opportunity I couldn't pass up. Spent 17 years there. Loved it. Loved living in Michigan. And still get back there a lot, maintain my roots. I will maintain my objectivity. But I do understand that I believe that Detroit is the greatest sports town in all of America for proud professional teams, two Big Ten teams right around the corner. But again, I will not lose my objectivity in this conversation and sharing with you my honest thoughts about the Detroit Lions.
Absolutely. I think we can both agree it's a great sports town. I know I've talked with people like Joe Dumars before who agree, because it is great because it is very competitive. The fans are very eager to see winners and sometimes a little harsh on the losers as well. And I mean, you've seen some up and down years when it comes to Lions. And I think a lot of fans like to say that since 2008, this is a completely different organization. It's turned itself around. I mean, it's gone to three playoff appearances, but hasn't won a playoff game. In your experience, do you really think it's that much different right now? Or do you still kind of see the same attitudes from fans or from the organization or just in general outlook when it comes to the team sometimes?
Well, you mentioned 2008, and that's the year Matt Millen was fired, week four of the season. And you have to hold two thoughts concurrently with Matt Millen, because he was an all-pro linebacker, won Super Bowls, a decent, not great TV analyst. But as a GM, he was an abject failure. He was 50 games under 500. He broke the Rooney Rule twice, left the program in a shambles. I also knew Tom Luan, the guy I respected quite a bit. He ended up beating his maker as well. Since 2008, you could make the argument that the Lions have shown some flashes. Of course, 2009, you drafted Matt Stafford, number one overall, and they've made a couple of playoff appearances, but still no playoff wins since January 6, 1992. One playoff win since 57, never a Super Bowl appearance. And they've underachieved. What makes Detroit such a great sports town is Ford Field's packed anyway. Their love for the Lions is unrequited, hope springs eternal, and they have a tendency to be glass-half-full fans, which is great, and I think the fans are knowledgeable and they're passionate. But there's a dead reality about the Lions, and the fact that they have really not moved the needle as it pertains to getting to the playoffs, advancing in the playoffs, and making a Super Bowl run. And I don't have high hopes for them this year either.
We have seen some teams in the past kind of come out of nowhere who have been mired in mediocrity for a long time. First things that strike to my mind is the Eagles, the Rams, who after a year or two suddenly go from being a team that has good assets but was probably underperforming to suddenly making deep playoff runs. I think some fans right now who are those glass half full are looking at the talent and thinking that is possible with the Detroit Lions. How do you see that?
Let's just get to the chase and then bury the lead. We've got the Lions going 6-10 this year. If they get hot, maybe they'll go 7-9. Look, I was in Detroit in late July. I've still got a credential with the Tigers. Saw a lot of my cronies that are inside the organization, and we had some candid conversations. And this is just, 45 days ago. I don't believe the Matt Patricia era is going to work. I'm not going to focus on why and what I heard, but hold that thought. We'll see if I'm wrong come Thanksgiving. One of the reasons is because I think while no one will question Matt Stafford's toughness, nor should they, or dedication or commitment, or the fact that he's had some highlight reel performances, he's, I think, now characterized as a guy that you might win with, but not because of. And that's evidenced by his record of 6-54 against teams who finish above 500. That's a pretty daunting statistic. I think where Stafford jumped the ship, I was told, was week 8 last year against Seattle. They were in a slugfest with the Seahawks. The score was 14-14, and Matt Stafford in back-to-back possessions fumbled the ball and turned the ball over, both led to touchdowns. The Lions proceeded to lose 5 of their next 6. They end up 7-9. What really turned out to be kind of a disappointing year. Now, I realize that folks are a little bit more optimistic. If you drink the Kool-Aid, perhaps, Matt Patricia's more regimented system will bear fruit. I don't see it. I know the Lions had a real dilemma. Jim Caldwell was a very popular guy, actually got into the playoffs for two of the last 3 years before he was fired, but the consensus was he was never going to get them to the promised land. So the Lions go out and they hire Ernie Accorsi. Martha Ford hires Ernie Accorsi as a consultant. She brings in Bob Quinn, the wunderkind from New England. He hires Matt Patricia, and we'll see what happens in year two. The reason I mentioned Stafford's record is because it's pertinent. If you look at the Lions' schedule, look at their first six games. I guess they open up at Arizona. The Lions are a 2.5-point favorite on the road. They won there 17-3 last year. You might say, well, that's a win, and it might be. But I'm going to come back to that in a minute because the Lions have a daunting history when they face NFL rookie quarterbacks making their first start on week one. And make sure I tell that story before we conclude today. But then they play the Chargers at Philadelphia, Kansas City, at Green Bay, and Minnesota. Now, if you believe those teams will finish above 500, then Matt Stafford's record against above 500 teams doesn't bode well. And if the Lions, any way I slice and dice that schedule in their first five games, the best case scenario is I see them going maybe 2-3. The NFL tells us by the data we've accumulated that if an NFL team starts 2-3, then they have a 15% chance of making the playoffs. I believe the Lions will be a run first team and hopefully carry on Johnson stays healthy. But I'm even told he might not be the thoroughbred they thought. He might be more of a quarter horse. I'm told that he's going to be a two-down back, not a three-down back, and that he's had some issues getting Matt Patricia's blocking scheme in passing situations. So you're going to see a lot more of C.J. Anderson. One of the things that really baffled me is that the Lions have really needed to build their defense, and you could argue that perhaps they have, bringing in Trey Flowers, Max Harrison, the guy from Green Bay. So what do they do when they go out this past year in the draft? They draft another tight end. I have no idea what T.J. Hockenson's going to do. Iowa wasn't exactly an offensive powerhouse. I hear he's a terrific player, but they needed defense. And, you know, I don't know that the Lions learned their lesson after Brandon Pettigrew and Eric Ebron. Of course, Ebron goes to the Colts and catches, you know, a bunch of touchdown passes last season. And so that, you know, just rubs salt in the wound. So when you add it all up, and they don't exist in a vacuum, they're in a very good division. Aaron Rodgers is back this year healthy after basically playing last year on one leg with a knee injury in week one. Then the year before, he only played seven games because he was, broke his collarbone. The Bears are a playoff, you know, caliber team, and so are the Vikings. So the Lions don't exist in a vacuum. So in addition to the tough schedule I just mentioned to start the season, what Matt Stafford's record has been, their woes, their history, the division has also gotten a lot better. So anyway you add it up, I just can't see the Lions getting above 7-9 this year.
Yeah, I know some of us on the staff have had, trouble with that Stafford record, if only because that we have people here who staunchly are against the idea of quarterback wins. But I mean, that record extends the entire team as well when it comes down to it. And even taking out anything like, performance against teams above 500, on paper, a lot of these teams, they're expected to play. I mean, many of them are expected to make the playoffs. I could see the Chargers making the playoffs. Philadelphia could possibly be back in there. Kansas City, of course, was fantastic. Green Bay, Minnesota. I personally have the Vikings taking the NFC North. And Vegas, if I'll just pull up some of the numbers so we can start moving into some of the Vegas stuff. I just wanted to compare the odds to win the division right now. You mentioned 6-10. That would be below the Vegas total, I believe, is 6.5 right now for the Lions for their wins. Yeah. Yes. And then odds to win the NFC North right now stand with the Bears at +160, Green Bay at +195, and Vikings at +240. And then you have the Lions at a full +1,000.
That's so 10-1. I've actually seen as high as 12-1. And by the way, they were 8-1 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. So that's they're moving. It sounds like they were. My brain just kind of messed up there. It sounds like then they were higher, and now people are starting to move away from them even further.
That's correct.
Yeah. And, we talked about some of the running backs. Zach Zenner recently got cut here as part of these, final week of cuts that we're going through right now. C.J. Anderson will see a lot of work. And then you mentioned the Arizona. I've seen 2 in some places, 2.5 as being a road favorite. Arizona, of course, they're getting that mostly because Arizona, I know, is missing some of their starting cornerbacks.
Well, Patrick Peterson is suspended the first 4 games.
Yes. Yeah. So, I mean, it doesn't really inspire a lot of confidence. Like, what do you see from the Vegas side as, you have those records sitting there, and once you put it together, it is quite a nasty little gumbo. And I think some fans could maybe see that win record move up in the later half of the year. But as you say, 15% when you start out that slow does not bode well at all. There's very little chance that teams just magically turn it around and run the table.
Yeah, and it does happen, but I need evidence as to why. I mean, we saw Carolina do it 5 years ago, but they had Cam Newton and a big-time defense. But I don't want to get off track. You know, here's some historical perspective for you. The last time the Lions went 0-4 in the preseason was 1989. And they started off the regular season 2-9, and then they won their last five games to finish 7-9. And eerily enough, they opened up against the Phoenix Cardinals. They're called the Arizona Cardinals now, but they were called the Phoenix Cardinals in 89, and they actually won. So the bottom line is, they lost that game. So, you know, is it a coincidence? Is it one of those oddball, you know, ironies? They open up at Arizona, but here's the angle that I alluded to a second ago. So I mentioned that the Lions have a history of struggling, laying an egg against quarterbacks making their first ever start in the NFL in week one. So let's go back to 2008, the last year I covered the Lions. They opened up at Atlanta, and a young rookie by the name of Matt Ryan was making his first ever start on week one for the Falcons at home against the Lions. Lions kick off. Falcons have 3rd and 9, the first ever professional pass that Matt Ryan throws was a 62-yard touchdown pass to a guy named Michael Jenkins. And the Lions lose, and they go on to go 0-16. Fast forward to last year, Monday Night Football, the Jets visit Ford Field. You've got Sam Darnold making his first ever NFL start on week one. Now, the first pass he ever threw was across his body, and it was a pick six, and the Lions celebrated, you know, like it was a free scoop Tuesday at Baskin-Robbins. And then the Jets proceed to house them. I think they put up a 47 burger on them. Well, guess what? Now they get to go play Kyler Murray, making his first ever NFL start in Arizona, and they don't really know what they're going to see with that air raid offense, because, believe me, Cliff Kingsbury didn't show 10% of it, and I know the Raiders were whooping and hollering and running all those double-A gap blitzes. They actually schemed for it, but Kingsbury didn't care. I understand in practice, they've got this offense down. So it'll be interesting to see. Now, the Lions should be able to run the ball on them because Arizona was horrible against the run next year. And the Lions did win their 17-3 last year. But would you really bet a finger that the Lions stroll in there week one and steal a win when their history shows that they've had issues when you least expect it? Now, I mentioned the Lions going 0-4 in preseason. I'm not going to hold that over their head. I'm concerned, you can't really glean too much from preseason. I remember, again, last year I covered the Lions, 2008. They went 4-0 in the preseason, outscored their opponents 80-32. It was Rod Marinelli's third year, and we actually thought we might have something here, and then they went 0-16. So it all starts for real on September 9th for the Lions. It's a fresh slate. Every game is like a snowflake. But God help them if they go into Arizona and lose week one. They could go off a cliff faster than they thought.
I think that would disappoint a lot of fans, because I would say, too, unlike, I would say, the Jets, Arizona's offensive line isn't that great. However, at the same time, I know the Lions' pass rush has not been that great either. And in many which ways, I think that Patricia and the Lions, for better or worse, have schemed more for trying to contain and cover rather than rush the passer. I mean, they've gotten Trey Flowers, but it's really hard to tell what exactly this defense is going to do, especially, as you say, people are showing they're not showing their full hands. Since we're in Vegas, we might as well talk cards. They're not showing their full hands really in the preseason. Everyone's playing it close to the chest. Nobody's really showing what they have here in August. It's all about how you play for September.
I think that's true. No one schemes. No one game plans. The idea behind preseason, frankly, I hope they don't change anything, because personnel directors, GMs, VPs, they need that time to evaluate players in live game situations, and they need that time to evaluate position battles. They need that time to evaluate progress or draft choices from year one to year two. And they want those games on film because they have an opportunity to see other teams and other players who might be cut. So, you never know who ends up getting picked up, who can be an asset. So, to your point, yeah, those aren't real games. They're not even, well, they're not scrimmages either. They're actual games, but they're not real in the sense that no one is tipping their hand. No one is playing their starters. I always joke about the fact that, you know, out of the 89 guys that ended up on in camp, and only 53, well, 36 times 30, 1,000 of those players are going to be working at Napa Auto Parts next week. So you can't really gauge exactly someone's performance in the preseason. However, again, I'm basing my assessment on the Lions on other factors, not the least of which is history. So they have a chance to prove me wrong. We'll see. I'm just not optimistic.
And to circle back then, looking forward when it comes to the Lions, you've made your prediction clear as far as the season, and I definitely, you know, once again, you see them going 6-10. How do you see this Patricia era then kind of moving forward in Detroit? This is obviously someone that the Lions wanted to get. They might not have said it straight up, but the message they sent when they fired Jim Caldwell was, we've hit the ceiling with this guy. We can make playoff appearances, but we can't go further. The next guy has to translate that into playoff wins. And for a guy, not only that, but someone from the Belichick coaching tree, which historically has never produced good fruit. It has always produced guys who act tough and then collapse under the pressure in these scenarios. And in the past, Patricia, he's been famous for yelling at reporters to straighten their posture. He's been famous for riding around on an ATV at practices. He's in the boot right now, so it's part of dealing with an injury. But at the same time, the attitude that he adopts from Belichick doesn't match his record. And if he goes 6-10 again, I think it would set a lot of fans off. But it is also the question of, as you say, Bob Quinn, it's his buddy from New England. So how would you see this moving forward if it comes to Lions, if these kind of records come? Because I know, again, to go back to the odds, I remember seeing in an offshore book, I believe in July, Patricia, there were odds for the first NFL coach to be fired in the season. And Patricia, I believe, opened at 10-1 in that regards.
I don't see Patricia getting fired this year, even if they go on 16. He's Bob Quinn's guy. And he's turned over 60% of the roster already. He's probably going to continue to do that. They've got to give this guy 3 years. There's got to be continuity. And, you know, as you alluded to, he seems to have adopted all of Bill Belichick's worst traits. Sartorial acumen, he's not friendly. He's difficult with people. And the irony is Belichick away from the media. See, Belichick doesn't care about the media. He's always said, if I win, the media can't touch me. If I lose, the media can't save me. You get Bill Belichick off to the side and away from the cameras or around teammates, he's got a wicked sense of humor. He's brilliant. He's smart. He's all business. He's got the respect of everybody. And the results prove it. And to your point, none of the Belichick coaching tree disciples have ever done anything. Now, you know, Mike Vrabel might do something in Tennessee, but I just feel like Patricia's in over his head. But because he's Bob Quinn's guy, he's going to ride this out. I think if they have a bad year this year and a bad year next year, they will certainly evaluate the situation. But I hate to look too far down the road. It's just too far. Where I think your focus needs, and everybody's focus needs to be, is Matt Stafford. Yeah, I know it's not 100% his fault that he's 6-54, but quarterbacks find a way to win in the fourth quarter, and others don't. And in these flip-of-the-coin games, he has not done it, and other quarterbacks have. Now, I don't want to belabor that because I think Stafford's had a good career and he's been hit more than Rocky Balboa. They better take care of him because he hurt his back last year. It didn't, you know, wasn't widely reported. And I don't think his back's 100% this year. He's not real active in practice. And I think that, you know, they've really kind of kept him under wraps. Plus, he had the unfortunate situation with his wife and her surgery, which I understand, I hope, is working out well for them. But how can that not be a distraction? So the Lions are going to go as far as Stafford takes them. As far as the future, I don't know how many years Stafford has left, really. You know, his rookie year was 2009. He had the shoulder injury, missed most of the season, came back, had the fluke shoulder injury in 2010. Since then, he's been pretty solid. But you only got so many miles, you know, miles in your arm, et cetera, et cetera. And the Lions really don't have a succession plan there. So I think in terms of worrying about whether or not Matt Patricia's on the hot seat or what will happen if they lose this year or next year, I think it's back to the cliche. They better focus on one at a time. And I think if the Lions show some sort of progress this year, again, Detroit fans are resilient. They'll be honest and objective. If they can see it developing, it's just going to take a while to get there. They'll continue to ride with this team. They will anyway. The question is, how long will Bob Quinn ride with Matt Patricia? I say definitely this year. It's not even a question. And definitely next year. And then they'll reevaluate at the end of 2020 if he's not over 500 or in the playoffs.
Yeah, and when it comes to Stafford, too, like some fans would say to point to 2016 when it comes to him winning a lot of those 50-50 games, but he hasn't really, on a macro level, really been that either before or after. He's had a couple of close games where he's won, but nothing is going to compare to what happened in 2016, where the Lions ended up winning, I believe, like 9 games within one score in the final minutes of the fourth quarter.
Right, they trail, I think, 7 of those 9 wins heading into the fourth quarter. So,
yeah,
you know, there are 3 phases of football: offense, defense, and special teams. Pick your poison. Typical NFL game, I covered enough of them to know that typically it comes down to about 5 plays. 5, you know, noteworthy plays. It could be an egregious penalty. It could be, Simon. It could be a lot of things. But the bottom line is, the good teams find a way on the margin to come out on top when it's a 50-50 coin flip game. And part of that sometimes is heroic quarterback play. And Stafford just isn't there yet. The numbers, the record just doesn't lie, Chris.
Absolutely. All right, we're going to wrap up here. I just want to make sure that you got to your story. Was it the Matt Ryan story, or did you have another one you wanted to get to?
Yeah, it's sort of a tongue-in-cheek funny that the two other times that they've played, the Lions have lined up against a quarterback making his NFL debut in week one. It's not been good. So might lightning strike a third time? I say yes, it could. I'm not predicting it. I'll know after 2 or 3 series. But I think it's going to be a very interesting game to watch opening day next week, the 9th, when the Lions travel to Arizona.
Yeah, and I'll definitely be watching that. And so will we at Pride of Detroit. Bernie Frado, once again, let me make sure I get your Twitter handle right before we get you out of here. Bernie, you are at Bernie Frado? Yes. FRATTO.
Mm-hmm.
And once again, you can find him on Fox Sports Radio Saturday night, Sunday mornings, depending on your time zone, 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific. Get you 1 hour of everything you need. As you say, Bernie, it is the Vegas truth.
And of course, you're part of that show as well, Chris, big part of that show. And
now we're pulling back the curtain here.
Yeah. So, Fox Sports Radio Saturday night, 11 p.m. Pacific. We're syndicated on 360 stations, SiriusXM channel 83, and things are going extremely well, and we're very enthusiastic heading into this football season, because we'll find the angles and the stories that bettors are looking for, or even casual observers just like to hear about.
And I, again, now that it's been revealed, like, even as an impartial observer, even as someone who's mostly just sitting in the control room pressing buttons to make sure it all stays on the air, I will hype you up, because it is an incredibly informative show. It is insight into the world of betting, especially with the guests you've had on, be it for books looking at college football as that's now upon us, or into the process of sports betting legalization across the country. It's all there on Straight Out of Vegas on Saturday nights. And as always, you've had the experience in Detroit, and you're always welcome back there, and I hope to catch up with you here soon. I believe you're coming out to Los Angeles here later in the year.
November 10th.
And, we'll have some fun.
We'll see you guys. Yeah. November 10th, we'll see you guys. And one last thing before we sign off. If folks aren't able to hear the show live, it's podcasted on the Fox Sports Radio website. Just go to the click down, hit Straight Out of Vegas, and all it's posted in 2 spots, and Straight Out of Vegas and on weekend shows, and you'll find us. And we're fortunate our numbers are growing in that area, so we appreciate the folks who take the time to listen.
Bernie, good stuff as always. Thank you very much for joining us, and thank you for the listener for tuning in. This has been a special edition of the Pride of Detroit PODcast. Now back to your regularly scheduled programming on the rest of the podcast. And as always, as I say here, see you Starside.